Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, we thank you once again for your word, the power, the grace, the strength, the wisdom, the counsel that rests upon your powerful and precious word. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would cause us to grow in our love for you and our love for your word, and empower us to be much more committed hearers and doers of your word as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we come today to praise your name, to lift high your name. We're so thankful that we can approach your throne right now and know that you hear us and that you've put your affection on us. You love us, Father. We saw that at Calvary in an enormous way. Your son dying on the cross for us. We thank you for that. We praise you for that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Just a reminder that once again, we have the wonderful privilege of being involved in the great work of Operation Christmas Child. You can send the good news of Jesus Christ to children around the world through a simple shoebox gift. Packing a shoebox results in evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication. This is a direct way for you and I to help to equip the local church in different parts of the world. Again, Operation Christmas Child's local ministry partners with a simple platform, a shoebox gift to reach their own communities and establish long-term relationships. So for more information about how you can get involved with this very important project, just visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Again, visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more and to find a drop-off location near you as well. Hope you will get involved this year. We are blessed today to have as our phone guest today Dr. Andy Miller. He's the Vice President of Academic Affairs and Assistant Professor of Historical Theology at Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Dr. Miller, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Pastor Joseph. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, great to have you on. And it was my privilege to get a chance to meet you a few weeks ago when I had the privilege of being there to speak at chapel there at Wesley Biblical Seminary. Had a great time. Really enjoyed being there as well. Would you take a moment to further introduce yourself to our listeners, tell them more about who you are, and then we want to talk about Wesley as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. And I enjoyed hearing your intro music. That will give people a little clue to hear who I am. I think it's the group Anointed.
That's exactly who it is.
Mm-hmm. And I had that back when we had CDs. I had that CD as a teenager, and I loved it. I loved that group. It brought back a lot of good memories. It's been too long since I heard that song.
Yes, sir. Well, again, we appreciate it. Glad you enjoy the music specifically. Yes, sir.
So it's a real privilege for me to be. I'm not from the Jackson area. I'm new here. I've just been in this role for 4 months. Mm-hmm. You ask a little bit about me. I say I am a Christian. I say that as clearly as I can. You know, mm-hmm. actually, it's not exactly in vogue to even use the word Christian anymore. Now, mm-hmm. I don't mind the idea of you saying I'm a Jesus follower, but I want to identify my life so closely with Jesus and being a part of the Christian movement in the world. Like that's part of who I am. I'm a Christian. I'm a father. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. And I have the privilege of being a preacher and a scholar. So these are opportunities that God has given me to serve. I'm thankful that I grew up in a loving Christian home. One thing that makes me a little distinct is I'm a sixth generation salvationist. That means I'm a part of the Salvation Army as my church home. Mm-hmm. And my great 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 grandfather was saved by the ministry of the Salvation Army in London, England. Mm-hmm. And that's how I came to my family came to the United States. And mm-hmm. I'm the third Andy Miller, and I have a fourth Andy Miller who is in my house. My son is 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And I have another son who's Titus Wesley. You'll notice that connection too with the New Testament name and connected to John Wesley. And then finally, my daughter, Georgia Kay. So mm-hmm. I served in the Salvation Army for 14 years as a minister. And now I've switched the way I'm serving by serving in the academy and serving the church. I didn't see that coming. I primarily saw myself as a preacher and a leader of individual churches. But now I have the real privilege of helping prepare trusted leaders for faithful churches. And mm-hmm. that's really the task of Wesley Biblical Seminary.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that further, though. And specifically, let's talk about the mission of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for asking. And our name gives away a bit of our mission in that when we say Wesley, we're connected to the work that the evangelical revival that came about through the ministry of John Wesley in the 1700s. And that means that we also emphasize some similar things that are in Methodist Wesleyan churches. And I, as a member of the Salvation Army, am a part of that tradition. So not that we want to overemphasize our individual tribes. Like, I know we're part of that same sort of tribe together, Pastor Joseph. But mm-hmm. at the same time, because we at Wesley Biblical Seminary, we serve a wide variety of denominations. We have Baptists, Charismatic, we have non-denominational, we have mainline denominations. We have people who come to us even like an Orthodox perspective. So like those are all things that we value and appreciate, particularly all of us who subscribe to the Orthodox Christian faith, the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. But same with Harvard Wesley is the kind of theological distinctive that we have. We emphasize the importance of sanctification, the reality and promise that we have a privilege as Christians to be entirely sanctified, that God's Holy Spirit can be at work within us. Not that we will never sin, but we believe that there's never a time in the life of a believer where they have to sin. You don't have to sin. And God's Holy Spirit can give you power in any situation. So mm-hmm. that's emphasis. And then biblical is another key word. We emphasize the absolute importance of Scripture's authority, the authority of God's inerrant word that God does not make any mistakes as he's revealed himself to us in the Scriptures. Now, we can talk about some of the academic distinctions that are there, but we want people to know that if they come to Wesley Biblical Seminary, and the word seminary means seedbed, this place where people are nurtured in their faith, where they're able to be developed, we are going to develop people to be trusted leaders for faithful congregations. Now, when we say trusted leaders, unfortunately, seminaries have been called sometimes appropriately cemeteries, mm-hmm. where people are sent mm-hmm. to seminary or go to seminary with a vibrant faith, and it gets squashed. It gets squashed by historical criticism, by academic thought, and unfortunately, that is a tendency. So we want churches to know, we want prospective students to know that we want to prepare them, develop them, become trusted leaders, that when somebody has a Wesley Biblical Seminary graduate serving their churches, that they can trust that they're going to preach and teach and lead in the tradition, the great consensual tradition of the church, that is the faith that's been handed down through generations. And at the same time, we want people to know we're training people, we're developing these trusted leaders for faithful congregations, congregations that are in line with that too. And so that's a key way that we distinguish ourselves in our ministry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, you used the word a few moments ago, you used the word sanctification. Define that term for our listeners.
Yeah, that is the process, you know, to like when you have the end of the word that says shun, that is a process, T-I-O-N. That's a process by which something happens. So water purification, that's the process by which water is purified. Well, the sanctification is the word sanctus, you know, if you kind of think about that, is the word for holy. Mm-hmm. Sanctification is a process by which people are made holy by God's Spirit. And I was just reading in my scripture, my own personal scripture reading, you know, without holiness, without sanctification, no one will see the Lord. That this is a part of the way that God is a call that exists for the believers, that mm-hmm. every person has the opportunity to experience God's sanctifying grace. It's not a work that we do. Mm-hmm. It is God's initiative, it's God's work by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate you kind of laying that out. You know, sometimes, whether it be in a broadcast like this or in certain settings, we use terms that may throw people that aren't really kind of functioning in our circles, in our camp. And that's just one of those big words, though. So, well, you know, we're coming up on a break in just a few moments, Dr. Miller, but let me mention something and we can kind of take it further on the other side. But this is a scenario. This actually happened, but it's an example of part of the problem. We live in a world that's so, so full of deception, where Satan is trying to infiltrate absolutely everything to the point where he will get in and not just have a place, but that he can actually dominate things, including the church, including denominations, including schools, including seminaries as well. I recall being in the presence of two young men, both of whom were seminary graduates, and they talked about, kind of affectionately, a professor they recalled. And this particular professor, near the beginning of the year, he used to illustrate his, I guess his approach was, he took a Bible and threw it in the garbage.
Oh, my.
And he was making a point. And yet that point says so much about him, who he is, and apparently says a lot about the school as well. I want to get your reaction to that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, as the person who's responsible for the faculty, I'm the academic dean at Wesley Biblical Seminary, I would say there'd be disciplinary action immediately if such a thing happened, because that goes against the very fiber of our identity at Wesley Biblical Seminary. But I have to say, having had an opportunity to do a doctorate at a school that didn't uphold the authority of Scripture, that's not a surprise. It's almost like sometimes seminaries exist to move people away from Scripture. And what do you have left then? You have yourself. Mm-hmm. You have, and that's what I saw, that's why I see other seminaries. In my own personal experience of being at a more liberal seminary for my doctorate, was that I saw they emphasized psychology, your own feelings, your own identity. If this is who you think you are the center of all of reality. I think, therefore I am, Descartes says, right? Well, who becomes the focus? And instead...
Dr. Miller, we're coming up on a break and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. We'll be right back, okay? Our phone guest today is Dr. Andy Miller. He's the Vice President of Academic Affairs at Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be right back.
My soul awakes.
The music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, reminding us that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation and eternal life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Dr. Andy Miller. He's the Vice President of Academic Affairs at Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Dr. Miller, as we start out this segment, if you'll pray for our listeners to really have ears to hear all the Holy Spirit wants to say to them today, would you pray for them, please?
Yes, absolutely. Jesus, we're thankful that every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. In this time where deception is alive in our world and in the church, we pray that your truth would reign and that your good word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would be at work and that we would have ears to hear what you're saying to us. In this hour, I pray that for me. I pray that for Pastor Joseph, that you would lead us to be in a position to hear from you. We say this all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you'll pick up now where you left off before the break there, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sorry, I get a little long-winded there as I talk about some of these things. And we were talking about your friends, and those who are going to come back from the break, who you heard the story that a professor had taken the Bible in a seminary course where they're supposed to be training people for ministry, took the Bible in front of the class and threw it in the garbage to demonstrate a point, right? And unfortunately, that's a common experience, and that is the antithesis of what we're trying to do at Wesley Biblical Seminary. We are saying that the authority of Scripture is the rule for our life. It is the divine rule of Christian faith and practice. And it is the only way that we come to a place of understanding all of reality, and it is the firm foundation, not just for our faith, but for how we understand everything. Mm-hmm. But what happens is when we get rid of that source, we get rid of the reality of how God has revealed himself in space and time, what we're left with is ourselves. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you will fail you every time. Mm-hmm. And We need God to speak into our world. And thank God he has, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, which have been put together by the Holy Spirit, which have been, the canonization process has been sanctified. It is something that God has used to help us rule, and when I say rule, not just like govern, but to create a rule, just like a ruler does, mm-hmm. for how we order our faith. And so we have that through the authority of scriptures. And unfortunately, what happens is when people depend upon themselves, it becomes subjectivized. And that then leads to all kinds of errors, heresies. And I believe this is the grounds for the spiritual warfare we are experiencing in our world.
Mm. And you know, it's so powerful to think of the fact that, again, as you just alluded to, when you don't have a solid foundation in the Word of God, so many problems can come up so quickly.
Yes.
In every area of life. So, well, tell. Basically, you've shared about some truths about the foundation of the Wesley Biblical Seminary. You know, I want to ask you to share your thoughts on this. You know, we live in a world where it's very common that believers will have young people that will grow up there, will graduate from high school, strong young Christians. But then they go to a school that may have no Christian background, Christian foundation whatsoever. And the parent may think, well, I want my child to go to a good school. This school has a good reputation. And their child goes there, and 4 years later, they have a young person that graduates who, in essence, is either a professed atheist or their perspective is one of atheism. And sadly, it's like the parent is so surprised. Would you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is. I tell you, you know, one of the interesting things I would encourage churches to do and parents to do, I hope that every Christian parent would say to their children, if you feel called to ministry, I want you to accept that call. I think that church leaders, I want to encourage church leaders to have regular calls to ministry in your worship services so that maybe four times a year you take the opportunity to say, If God is leading somebody to enter full-time, now, this isn't saying that just because they hear a call that this is the church affirming that, right? I just want to say, like, we're not going to take everybody. But at the same time, in the church, if we have an opportunity to make that call, you know, one of the interesting things that happen is if we don't make the call, if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to use us in the lives of prospective students, mm-hmm. we might miss the opportunity to have leaders in our church. And I would say, go even after the smartest kids. You know, mm-hmm. even if you think they have an opportunity to be a successful business person or they're intelligent and they might do something else another way, well, let's go after them. Mm-hmm. And let's get the smartest, brightest leaders and just ask them, if God called you to the ministry, you would be an outstanding pastor in our church or you know, churches in our denomination. So that's the first thing I'd say is, like, let's not neglect the fact that we need people to be listening for God's call. It might be he uses you to call them. But then, looking at the opportunities that God has given for there to be Christian institutions in place. Now, I know that finances can be a struggle, but we have to consider the call that is out there, that if people are going to institutions that are going to deconstruct, and I use that word very carefully, deconstruct their faith, mm-hmm. and even so-called Christian schools could do that. Mm-hmm. That's why at Wesley Biblical Seminary, we started this fall an undergraduate program in pastoral ministry, because we believe there's a need in our area for people to be able to have an undergraduate program. We also have some Masters of Divinity, Masters of Arts degrees, Doctorate of Ministry degrees. All of these things are ways that we want to be available to serve the church, right? Because our goal is to develop trusted leaders for faithful congregations. And if we're doing that, that's something we can. And I would just say, you know, okay, if your kids are going to a school that is deconstructing their faith, hopefully you can find a parachurch organization like a Wesley Foundation or BSM or one of these things that can give them resources while they're there. But I do encourage people to consider Christian liberal arts colleges or Christian Bible colleges as an avenue for educating their children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to ask if you'll take a moment specifically to pray for churches to see the need to be very deliberate about
yeah.
guiding parents and helping their kids to select schools that will be in their best interest. Would you pray for that?
Absolutely. Lord Jesus, like, we think of this moment, like, and as I issued that word, that call to make calls for ministry, maybe there's a pastor listening who needs to take action on that, to be a doer of the word this Sunday. Lord, would you put it on our hearts, everybody who's listening to this, to encourage somebody to enter full-time Christian service? Maybe it's bivocational service, but somebody who can lead our churches in your word. And would you equip institutions like Wesley Biblical Seminary to serve those students so that they can be equipped, they can be developed as trusted leaders for faithful churches? Thank you, Lord, that there is a remnant, that there is a group of faithful churches and faithful pastors like Pastor Joseph who are serving your church well. Lord, would you send more? We believe the harvest is plentiful, and we see that harvest in front of us. And Holy Spirit, would you call people to be workers in that harvest? We ask this by the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of our triune God, and in Jesus' powerful name, amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for the church, and thank you for the opportunity you give us as individual believers and as churches and as learning institutions as well, to equip people and to disciple them. Father, more and more, help us to recognize the seriousness of the work of discipleship, the seriousness of the need to teach believers to become students of God's word, who look to your word for guidance and direction in every area of their life, and help us to recognize, Lord, that again, the work of the church is the most important work in all of the world. Help us to never take it lightly, but to take it very serious in every area and in every way. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Miller, I know we only have a few moments left before you're going to have to run, but I want to ask if you'll address this. You know, I mentioned the illustration that actually happened amongst a couple young men that I knew that were seminary graduates, where they saw their professor throw a Bible in the garbage. Of course, now, there are lots of believers who would think to themselves, oh, I would never throw a Bible in the garbage. And that's good, because I think even symbolically, that was a wicked thing to do. Because the Word of God is Jesus.
Right.
And Jesus is the Word of God. And so the idea of publicly throwing in the garbage is such an insulting and ugly thing towards Christ himself, you know. But there are many people that would say, oh, I'd never throw a Bible in the garbage. Yet their life reflects as if they did that. Because the Word of God may mean so little, and it's, I know in my years as a pastor, it's not hard to run across people that will knowingly admit, oh, I'm just so busy. I don't read my Bible regular, or I just don't have time to read it, or it may come with excuses. But the reality is, lots of believers are biblically illiterate. What from your perspective is an important approach for the church when you in addressing this issue?
Yeah, well, we've tried to do some things at Wesley. Now, I've talked a lot about training trusted leaders. Well, that's not just full-time pastors or even bivocational pastors. We've created a program called the Wesley Institute, which is a 9-month program where we take people through every book of the Bible. And mm-hmm. We do this with people who have studied those specific books. And we want to, like, do all that we can to encourage people to revere God's Word. I'm one of those old-fashioned folks who believes it's a good thing to read the Bible through in a year. And some people say it goes too fast. Some say it goes too slow. I don't know. But God has used that as a means of grace in my life. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's something that can really be used. And ultimately, if people can just spend 10 minutes a day reading the Bible at minimum, I think that has amazing fruit, discipleship fruit for our life. So that is one way to combat that. And we're trying to offer courses for lay people. That's a key thing that we want to do. And then I believe that as that happens, as lay people become equipped and strong and discipled, that will transmit itself to people becoming full-time ministry leaders in churches. And then what our goal is that they will be trusted leaders as they study to show themselves a workman who needeth not be ashamed so that they can move in a place of serving faithful churches.
Okay. Well, you know, and of course, just like you've alluded to, having a Bible foundation for every believer is just so, so important. I recall meeting a gentleman on one occasion to where he, his perspective was he believed only in the King James Bible, that translation. He didn't believe in any other translation, and he was just very adamant about it. Well, and after he kind of finished sharing his perspective, I asked him, well, do you read your Bible regularly? He said, well, no, but I believe in the King James, nothing but the King James. Well, the reality is, you know, I think it was Dr. Woodrow Kroll. He said, the best translation is the one you're going to read. Amen. And I think that makes such a powerful point. Teaching believers the spiritual discipline, and you just alluded that insofar as reading through Scripture in a year's time, reading it daily is an important sanctification activity all by itself. And for so many believers, they just haven't really made that step, and it's so important. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. I think we want to help people here learn how to work the text itself. We use a process called inductive Bible study. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole hermeneutical, which means just like the art of reading and discovering meaning process behind that. But essentially, it's us learning to read the text in English and learning how to interpret, to make observations, to interpret it, to evaluate our claims, then to apply those claims to our life. But even as I've served as a pastor, I don't want to talk too much about Greek, even though I've studied Greek and I've studied Hebrew and I'm conversant in those languages in a sense, in the way that I can function as a scholar. I don't want to scare people away. I want people to read the Scriptures and even deal with hard questions. Write those questions down. If you ask good questions, you're more likely to get good answers. And there's something you can bring up with your pastor. You can bring up in a setting of discipleship. And if you have a question, you know, that's a great, maybe you're somebody who's struggling through those questions. Maybe it'd be you sign up to audit a few classes at seminary or take classes for credit or join our Wesley Institute, which is this 9-month program where we help people have tools. And that's ultimately God has put this thirst in you, and it's not going to be satisfied anywhere else except by him. And that comes back to our original idea that if people look to find a source for their life outside the foundation of Scripture, they will come up thirsty. And we want to give people tools to understand Scripture and its power for our lives and our churches.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dr. Miller, if someone who's listening is thinking to themselves they'd like to learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary or just get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, it's very simple. Our email, our website is very easy. It's wbs.edu, Wesley Biblical Seminary, wbs.edu. And you can still sign up for classes that we're going to be offering starting next semester. And we have some really interesting courses. We have a course that's going to deal with ideologies that threaten the life of the church this coming spring. This is a class that we're really promoting for people who are in the church to take, like lay people to audit, and we really encourage that class too. wbs.edu.
All right, Dr. Miller, thank you so much for being with us today. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph. God bless you.
All right, our phone guest was Dr. Andy Miller, the Vice President of Academic Affairs and the Assistant Professor of Historical Theology at Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. I hope you will take the time to go to the website and learn more about Wesley. We'll be right back.
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast for the eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul.
Flashes, say they think that it's you, but they don't know that who you are is not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we peek at the charts. Yo, before we part from the start, where's your heart?
You a pimp?
Hustler, tell me what's your title? America has no more stars, now we call them idols. You said idol, while we teach prosperity. The first thing to prosper should be inside me. Not because of 22s on the range, but Christ came in range. We said yes, now we change. Not the same, even though I met a fall. Since I got that call, no more Saul, now I'm Paul.
Yep.
Music of Toby Mac, Lose My Soul. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, our phone guest for the first two segments was Dr. Andy Miller, the Vice President of Academic Affairs and the Assistant Professor of Historical Theology of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Again, I would encourage you to take time to go to their website and learn more about the school and prayerfully consider the possibility of becoming either an in-person or an online student, or if you know someone who is prayerfully considering going to seminary, maybe you can make a recommendation. Again, a great school in the city of Jackson, Mississippi. For the balance of the broadcast of this final segment, I want to talk to you and encourage you in the whole area of something Dr. Miller touched on, your personal Bible study habits, your personal Bible reading. You know, this is a foundational part. It should be a foundational part of every believer. Yet, sadly, it's not hard to find believers that rarely read their Bibles. They nibble on Scripture. They may read it from time to time, might read it Saturday night getting ready for Sunday school, which is better than nothing. But the fact is, as believers, we need to be believers who are diligent students of Scripture, who read and meditate on the Bible every single day. Well, there are many reasons for that, but one critical one is so that you won't be deceived in a very deceptive world. We live in a world today that majors on deception so much so that literally when you turn on the television, when you turn on all kinds of media, you're hit in the face with lots and lots of deception. Literally lies that are being poured into our lives, and the fact is, many a people swallow those lies by the gallon. That's the world we live in. I want to share with you a few scriptures that address the whole issue of deception. And of course, One of the many sad and tragic things about deception, of course, is a person, they're being led in a wrong direction and they just don't even know it. They think they're going in the right direction, but they're being led totally in the wrong deception. That's one of the sad realities of what deception is all about. Let me just share a few scriptures for you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them." Again, Proverbs 11, 3. Again, reading that again, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them." Proverbs 11, verse 3. Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Again, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And of course, for every believer, this is one very important foundational truth for us all to be mindful of. If you don't want to be deceived, fill your heart with the word of God and the light of God's word. God's word helps us to be on the straight and narrow path of following the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the word of God is Christ. So following the word of God helps us stay in the, moving in the right direction. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 1, it tells us these words, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly." And again, I'm going to stop there. But again, that was 2 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 1. But clearly pointing out that in the last days, there will be false prophets, people who proclaim to be Christian spiritual leaders, yet are deliberately leading people in wrong directions. Again, it's so important to fill your heart and your mind on the word of God, because again, there are those deceivers out there that they major on misleading and deceiving people. Sometimes they come in the form of preachers. Sometimes they come in the form of, speakers. Sometimes they're simply people that do share what they call the news on TV, whether it's really news or propaganda, but news reporters, lots and lots of deception in the world we live in. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the foundation of your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read and meditate on your word. And thank you for your Holy Spirit who reaches through the word of God and helps to guide us and help us to discern your will from what's not your will. Help us to discern that helps us discern the what's right, what's wrong. It helps us discern what you would have us to do and what you would not want us to do. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of discernment and wisdom and grace. Help us to not be misled, to avoid being led in wrong directions and deceptive directions in this world where there's so many that major on deception. Help us to be grounded in your word and listening for your word and the foundation of your counsel through every issue, every matter, every concern, in every area of our lives. Help us to avoid deception every day, faithfully, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, looking further at a few more passages that deal with the whole topic of deception. Again, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It says, But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And then Judges chapter 16, verses 4 through 20, it tells us these words. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Seduce him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound with one, that one could subdue you." Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. And for time reasons, I won't read the entire story. I would encourage you to read Judges chapter 16, and you see where, sadly, Samson allowed himself to be misled, led into wrongdoing, and ended up losing his strength, and ended up being losing his eyesight as well, as the enemies caught him and put his eyes out. Again, he allowed himself to be misled, to be led in wrong directions. Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is an anchor. Your word is a guide that helps us to know your will and to discern your will in situations. Help us to be believers that are committed to being hearers and doers of your word. Help us to be believers that are committed to following what's right and what honors you. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you're listening and you've never started the habit of reading your Bible every day, again, I like to encourage a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. If you're not doing that already, today is a great day to start the habit of starting to read 3 chapters in the Bible daily. And again, this is an important habit that the Holy Spirit can use in your life to help you avoid being deceived and led in wrong directions. Real briefly before we end our time, 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word every day. Again, 10 excellent reasons to read the Word of God daily. Number 1, reading the Word daily tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. Number 2, reading God's Word daily is important because it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. Number 3, it empowers your prayer life. Number 4, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. A 5th reason to read the Word daily, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. 6, it helps you maintain your mental health. 7, it increases God's anointing on every area of your life. 8, it increases your wisdom in every area of life. Number 9, it enhances your intellect and personality. And a 10th reason to read God's Word every day is because it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. Again, 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word every single day. If you want to get a copy of those, just email us at jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to share those with you, for you to have, as well as to share with your family or loved ones and anyone else that you want to share with. But the habit of reading God's Word is one of the great tools that you and I can use in our lives to avoid being deceived, to avoid being led in wrong directions. God's word is an anchor and a guide to help us to stay on the path that honors the Lord in our lives. Hope that you'll choose to start reading your Bible every single day, that you'll choose to start reading 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. Well, in the last few moments of our broadcast, as usual, if you're listening and you've never made the all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come to your heart as Lord and Savior, well, today is a great day to get saved. Today is a great day to make that very, very important step and habit. And keep in mind, in all of life, there's no more important decision than asking Christ to come to your heart as Lord and Savior. Hope that you'll do just that. If you want to make that step and ask Him to come in, would you simply pray this prayer with me right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived and you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, in a brand new way, I ask you, Lord, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Lord, you told us in your word, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we very much would like to hear from you. My email, again, is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and also that you can use for you and your family in your family discipleship as well. Also, keep in mind, if you'd like to get a copy of the 10 Excellent Reasons to Read God's Word Every Day, simply email us, same email, jparker@afa.net. And as I mentioned earlier, if you don't have the habit of reading 3 chapters in your Bible every day, you need to start today. Why? Because again, in this world full of deception, there's so many ways in which people are easily misled, but don't realize it. It's the Word of God that can help us to know His will and to be led by His will daily and by His Spirit. Hope that you'll start that habit today. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.